Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
As we were saying earlier, Ray, the NFL postseason awards come out. No surprise for Nick Bosa. He's the defensive player of the year. Patrick Mahomes named MVP. His second 5,000-yard passing season, a number that just in my childhood was, you know, unfathomable. 5,000 passing yards. It's the second time he's done it. It's his second MVP. I mean, this is a guy who, look, Patrick Mahomes has been the Chiefs starter for 5 seasons. He just played in his 5th AFC title game. He's about to make his 3rd Super Bowl appearance. He just won his 2nd league MVP, and he could win his 2nd Super Bowl. It's about as perfect a start to a career as any player has ever had in any sport. I mean, he's really remarkable. He's really, truly remarkable. And look, as everyone starts putting together the how they think the Super Bowl is going to get played, I look at Philadelphia and I get an awful lot of respect for who they are and what they do, and the good old-fashioned cliche that defenses win championships. There is truth to it. And boy, they got a good defense. Here's the thing. Kansas City also has a good defense. Maybe not as good as Philadelphia's, but they're representative of an actual NFL defense. And they can also get a little frosty. Beyond that, Ray, the reason why I like the Chiefs on Monday, and I keep on liking the Chiefs, and I've been looking for reasons to not like the Chiefs, but I won't find them, because the one thing, the only thing in football that can really overcome a truly incredible defense is a great coach with a fantastic quarterback. And there wouldn't be a easier, simpler way to describe who the Kansas City Chiefs are. That's a great coach with a fabulous quarterback, and they have as much chance of beating a really good to great defense as any team that has ever taken a field.
No, I think that, I mean, and there's nothing you said there that's wrong, but I think the difference is not going to be decided when Kansas City has the ball. It's going to be decided when Philadelphia has the ball, because Kansas City's defense is vulnerable in places. And one of the places that they're vulnerable is in the secondary. And because Philadelphia's offensive line is so much better than Kansas City's defensive line, I think that's where the difference in the game is going to be determined. If Kansas City can stand up to that, then they win the game. And they might win it comfortably. But if they can't, I think Philadelphia could have the ball a vast majority of the day. And if they do, that makes it significantly more difficult for Kansas City's offense to do the magical things that Patrick Mahomes can make it do.
But boy, if there's one guy who can summon that magic in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl where they did not possess the ball very much in the first 3 stanzas, now here they are, and they need 17 points quickly. They're the only team I can even imagine being able to do that.
Yeah. Oh, no. There's no question. That's why this is a fascinating game. I just don't know that Philadelphia's advantage on defense, coupled with its dominating advantage in the offensive line, doesn't make them simply better, because they can control the 2 most important things in any football game, to the offensive line of scrimmage and the defensive line of scrimmage. Because you rarely see a team that is that good along both lines. And I don't know, it just seems to me that that's the one advantage that Andy Reid might have some difficulty figuring out on one side or the other.
And I would agree with you for a lot of reasons that you, I mean, look, you make an awful lot of sense too, but can I give you one other element of why I like the Chiefs in this game?
Go and knock yourself out.
So I don't know if you heard any of the crosstalk that I did with Steiny and Guru today, because I sort of said this there. And if you heard that, I won't ask you the question. But if you weren't paying attention, just tell me and I'll ask you the question.
I didn't hear it.
Andy Reid has been a coach for 31 years. That means we have a 31-year sample size of what he does with 2 weeks to prepare. Andy Reid coming off a bye week. He's really successful. Do you even want to guess what his record is in 31 tries coming off of a bye week?
Probably 25-6.
You're not far away from the truth. He is 27-4.
No, he's a sensational coach. And if anybody can negate the advantages that Philadelphia has, it is him.
You know that he's got 15 plays that no living, breathing human has ever even thought of, much less actually run. And if he's in trouble against the Eagles, he'll run like three or four of them on Sunday, because Andy's always saving a little for the next game, the next season, the next Super Bowl. He's a genius.
Oh, yeah, he is the second most creative tactical coach next to Bill Belichick of the century.
Yeah.
And part of that is because he goes back as far as Belichick does. There was a story in The Ringer by Roger Sherman about all the great gadget plays that Reed has run in his life. And there was one, and I don't remember which one it was, and shame on me, that he pulled from 1940. Before they essentially threw the ball at all. And he figured one out and got a touchdown out of it. Because he remembers more stuff than Nick Sirianni's been alive for. But the one thing that doesn't negate that advantage but levels it off, I think Sirianni's got more really good players than Reed does.
Players matter in the big game, but the single best player, I think he wears a Kansas City Chiefs uniform.
Oh, no question.
And I like the Chiefs. I might be wrong. I'm wrong all the time about things that I like. But I like the Chiefs in this game. And Patrick Mahomes, really, truly, if he wins this game, I believe he is as close to 5 years into a career, which is a minuscule amount of career compared to the career we just saw of Tom Brady. You know, Patrick Mahomes in 5 years will have come as close to being mentioned in the same breath with Tom Brady and the all-time greats as anyone could ever come in just a five-year sample size of a career. Patrick Mahomes is unbelievable. I want to attribute this to Nick Wright, because I saw him come up with this. Just on Patrick Mahomes' prowess to make a bad game turn around quickly. In the 2018 AFC title games, Mahomes gets the ball back down three with 32 seconds left, and he drives for the game-tying field goal. In 2021, in the AFC divisional round, Mahomes got the ball back down three with 13 seconds left and drove in 13 seconds for the game-winning field goal. In the 2022 AFC title game, Mahomes got the ball back in a tie game with 30 seconds left and drove for the game-winning field goal. That is three times in his playoff career that Patrick Mahomes has gotten the ball with less than a minute and has driven his team down for a winning or tying score. Three times. In 13 career playoff games, no other quarterback in NFL history has done it more than once. Guy's unbelievable. He's trying to win his second Super Bowl in his third appearance after five straight conference championship games. He just won his second straight MVP. But when we get to a little gambling advice, and we got some gambling advice before today's show is over and done with, Ray. Oh, I will give you that gambling advice in just a moment. But I've been told we've got breaking news. Grandy, push the button.
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
So Gary Payton Jr. was seen around the facility today, and it looked like he was ready to play. A failed physical exam of Gary Payton II has placed the Golden State Portland Detroit Atlanta four-team deal in serious jeopardy. This is according to Shams and Anthony Slater, Peyton's core muscle injury could sideline him for 3 months following a Warriors exam. Whoa.
Hello.
So, James Wiseman, who reported to Detroit, Mark Spears said he was going to play and then said isn't going to play. At least the Detroit Pistons said that he's not going to play, is not the culprit here who might have flunked a physical, but Gary Payton himself. Gary just played against the Warriors when they lost in Portland two nights ago. Wow.
Oh, yeah, wow is an impressive way to put it. Played 22 minutes in that game. So I don't know how they ignore this. And I think you've got to walk the whole trade back.
Can you walk just a leg of the trade back? Like, let's say the Warriors want to keep this James Wiseman for Sadiq Bey. Let's forget about involving Kevin Knox in Atlanta and 5 second round picks and Gary Payton the second. Wiseman for Sadiq Bey. Could they? Do you have to go back to just scuttling the deal entirely? Can you keep an element of it?
I think you would have to get the Pistons to agree to do that straight up. And from what I understood, they didn't want to do a Bay for Wiseman trade straight up. So I think if you negate one part of the trade, and I'm not an expert on this, maybe we could chase down Slater, but I think if one leg of the trade goes, I think you can revoke the whole thing. Because everybody had a piece of this deal in one way or another.
Again, from Shams, this just in, a failed physical exam of Gary Payton II has placed Golden State, Portland, Detroit, Atlanta's four-team deal in serious jeopardy. That's according to Shams and Anthony Slater. Payton's core muscle injury could sideline him for up to 3 months following a Warriors exam. Wow. Wow. And I mean, he just played. He's played 15 games. Why does Portland have a medical process to clear the player to play, yet the Golden State Warriors are slamming the brakes on that?
This according to Shams. Not to duck your question, but the Warriors have until Saturday to go through with the trade or have the entire four-team deal be rescinded. So if they rescind this part of it, the whole deal collapses.
So James Wiseman is back with the Golden State Warriors. I mean, are they going to give him minutes? Are they just going to sign him right to the G League? Like, what do you do? How do you look James Wiseman in the eye again and just be like, yeah, okay, we'll just pick up right where we left off?
Well, he's probably as pissed about this as anybody, but I don't think they're going to all of a sudden look at Wiseman if they have to bring him back and say, okay, we've seen the error of our ways. You'll get 20 minutes a night. I think they would use him the way they have used him, which is almost not at all.
Wow. I mean, how could a weird year get even weirder? We just found out, and because the trade deadline has come and gone, there is no lever to pull to improve this team beyond the situation it currently stands in. If all of this goes away, oh my goodness, what a disaster.
And if they decide we're fine with the trade anyway, they will basically have traded James Wiseman for the equivalent of nothing. Well, which was something that, you know, some people said that might not be bad because at least you get his salary and tax off the books.
Well, no wonder why Steve Kerr didn't want to come on today to talk about this, or he was, you know, going to come on, but he couldn't talk about this. It's on their end. It is the Warriors team doctors that are holding up this physical. Who would have thought? Who would have thought when they moved into Chase Center so close to the baseball field that they would have the same problems? Failed physicals. Has there ever been a city attached to failed physicals the way that the city of San Francisco is now attached itself to failed physicals? over just the last 2-3 months. It's extraordinary.
Better doctors?
What are the chances? What are the odds? Oh, my God. I mean, oh, my God.
No, I
mean, are all these teams operating on Indian burial ground? It's not just the 49ers. It's the Giants now, too, and it's the Warriors. How are the Sharks, Ray? Are the Sharks okay today? Anyone get hit by a Zamboni this afternoon?
That would probably be an improvement on the year they've had.
God almighty. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. We just had Anthony Slater yesterday trying to sum up what James Wiseman went through, meant to this team. Here's what Slater said just yesterday with us.
It was convoluted. You go back to the drafting of him was in November. Drafts are never in November. It was the COVID year. 60 games sounds like a career for James Wiseman when you consider his college career. 3 games. And then, I can remember, it was wild. His first training camp, we couldn't cover in person because of COVID, so they would just send out these little blips of footage and we hadn't seen him yet. And I remember they looked really impressive, and that's what I'll always remember about those early days of the Wiseman era, where there was just those flashes of oh, wow, they might have drafted Giannis, right? I mean, if I showed you some of his highlight film and that's all you'd seen from his rookie year, remember they started him game one. I remember talking to the coaches behind the scenes. They were playing in Brooklyn, COVID year, empty arena, game one. He'd missed the preseason because he got COVID, and they're like, we're starting him tonight. And it was like, whoa, they must have seen something behind the scenes.
What's absolutely amazing about this whole thing, Ray, if it really does dissolve, is that they sent out James Wiseman with this huge aura of we still don't know, and they get him back in the exact same situation. We still don't know.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Nothing ever gets learned about this guy.
That's why I think there's a possibility that the Warriors might accept the trade, even though they don't get any help from Peyton. Because
they want him off the books.
I think they do want him off the books, and the truth is, if Peyton can't play, and it would seem like he can't if they're talking 3 months, it still doesn't change how they would use Wiseman, which is not at all. So, what have you done then? You've traded a guy for cap relief. And I think it was John Hollinger who suggested that might be a thing they'd want to consider.
A grand total of about $130 million saved in terms of actual cap hit and repeater tax when it's all said and done. To keep James Wiseman on the books is a significant investment in a player who's not playing for them.
I mean, apparently that core muscle surgery that Peyton had in July, I think it was, July or August, it wasn't either 100% successful, or the doctors looked at the surgery and said, you know what, they didn't get all of it.
I mean, a core muscle thing is it's a hard thing to heal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's also, I mean, we saw Nick Bosa come back from a similar injury when he was at Ohio State. But, I mean, I guess, I got a lot of questions here. One of them is, what is Portland doing getting this guy back and playing him if as soon as, he walks into a Warriors doctor office, they're thinking, we got to scuttle a trade. What is Portland doing? How's this guy played 15 games? How is he cleared to play after missing the majority of the entire first half? What benchmark did they decide in Portland he had cleared, which allowed him to be green-lighted for playing time? I mean, the Warriors don't look bad on this, because I don't think it's negligent on the Warriors to say, well, this player's healthy if he's playing over there. Like, he's playing against us. Like, we're literally playing the Portland Trailblazers tonight, and there he is playing against us. So, thinking that he's available to be traded is, there's no negligence that can be assigned to that, Ray. I don't think you can call it a gamble.
Well, no, it's not a question of negligence, because they wanted this trade to happen. And since they're the ones who are saying, well, now we got this. You know, I mean, and look, they may not negate the trade. It may just suddenly become Wiseman for cap relief. I mean, they would have to basically change the, you know, the motivation for doing the deal. But if they say, well, we're not going to do this deal, you know, undo it all, then they've got the same problem that they had 2 days ago.
The Golden State Warriors, do they solely control the veto power now over getting this done? Is it all their decision entirely?
Yeah, because they're the I don't want to say they're the aggrieved party, but they're the ones,
the player in
who
question,
ended up with damaged goods. I mean, Detroit can't negate the trade because, you know, Wiseman is whole. Atlanta isn't going to because they have no complaint here. The only team that would have a complaint would be Golden State.
What do the Warriors do about the body that they need?
That may not be, that's not, would not seem to be the option. It's not a question of the body they need. They don't get that body. They would, again, they would have to change the motivation for the deal to, all right, we like Wiseman, but we need the cap relief. And that's not a body.
If Gary Payton was to miss 3 months, that would put us in May, and that is a month after the regular season ends. So into the second, maybe even third round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no assuming that the Warriors are just going to be waiting there for him the way that they're playing right now.
No, I mean, that's, you know, I think you basically have to, you have to decide by Saturday.
They have until Saturday.
Yeah. Or as we like to call it, tomorrow.
When you put it that way.
Well, I mean, you can't hold up a trade forever. You've got to, you got to poop or get off the pot. And that's what the Warriors have to do. They have to decide, okay, can we justify this in our own heads if it's just for money?
What do you think they're going to do?
I think they're going to accept the trade even though Payton is injured, because they'll justify it as saying, well, we just saved ourselves $100 million in change.
Anthony Slater, remember, was on with us yesterday and had to say this about the Wiseman Warriors situation at the very, very end. It wasn't exactly harmonious, Slater said.
You know, he's always had a really good attitude behind the scenes, but you could just tell it was just becoming detached. The situation had just run its course with the Warriors. It's why I think they finally came to grips with trading him. I'm not saying Detroit starting him right away in this complete losing environment is fantastic for him, but it's better than what he had been experiencing.
And look, you know, we're only looking at this through the prism of selfish self-interest, right? For the Warriors. If you're Gary Payton II, you got to be crestfallen about this, right? You got to be sick to your stomach about this, that this could hold up your opportunity to return to a place that, you know, Slater said he wanted to be.
I think that it's like somewhat kind of been in the back of their mind, really, even since he left. It was like an agonizing decision for him to leave. Like, he didn't want to. You know, he's kind of hinted even behind the scenes that he kind of longed to get back. But when they went searching the last couple of days for upgrades, obviously they were attempting to get an OG and an Obi sweepstakes, which didn't really even end up being realistic for anybody in the league. That's why he didn't get traded. But as they tried to find veteran upgrades out there, they talked to Portland and about maybe it being like a direct swap, but Portland didn't want James Wiseman. So they had to get creative to, you know, get something for James Wiseman that Portland would take in a package. And he was one of the few, I think, veterans that they did identify as can come in, and we know he can be in a closing lineup, because that was kind of their threshold that they had talked about. It was like, no, it's not just a ninth man upgrade that can play, you know, 14 minutes. It has to be somebody good enough to be in the DiVincenzo Kuminga realm of, like, on certain nights, he's one of our best five. And there are not many guys for that price range across the league that, you know, you could use James Wiseman to get that fit that description, but they knew that Payton did, because he did it last season. He did it in the finals last season. So, shockingly, they went out and got the reunion done.
Look, he's a proven player who fits the puzzle that the Warriors try to put together nightly in a basketball game. We've seen it. The experiment's been run. He fits. They can even excel defensively with him. They need Gary Payton II to be what they want to be this year, but they think that they need him beyond more than just this year. I mean, he's coming with a two-year deal beyond this year.
Yeah, so they'd be responsible for those $18 million.
I want to share you with all of you the news once again. This just came down from Shams. A failed physical exam of Gary Payton II has placed the Warriors, Trailblazers, Pistons, Hawks, four-team deal in serious jeopardy. According to Shams and Anthony Slater, Payton's core muscle injury could sideline him for up to 3 months following a Warriors exam. I mean, here's my question. Let's say they decided they weren't going to dot their I or cross their T, and they just said, yeah, let's pretend to give him an exam, but we're not going to because he just played the other night. Could he play? I mean, how precautionary is this? How worried about next year are they about playing him tomorrow? Because he just played two nights ago.
You know what? Once they find out that there's a problem, it's dangerous and maybe even legally actionable for them to play him. Say, you failed your physical, but we're going to say you passed it. I mean, that's a level of malfeasance that A, the Warriors couldn't possibly want to have to explain in a court of law, and B, is counterproductive.
Here's the deal. If this whole thing gets rescinded, Ray, if this whole thing gets rescinded, whatever is the first game he's back, you got to start James Wiseman just to screw with everybody. Just to have fun with it at that point, right? I mean, what's left to do?
There's nothing about this that got fun for the Warriors. I think, frankly,
start him. 48 minutes. Let him foul out before you substitute him.
No, the more I think about it, the more I think it's unlikely that they're going to negate the trade.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What a development. I came in for that crosstalk with Guru and Steiny, and I said something might be up. But I was just throwing hypotheticals against the wall. Look at where we are. When we come on back, we'll catch everyone up to the breaking news. Oh, the hour. This trade might get scuttled for the Golden State Warriors. Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game. It's great to have you here. We are streaming live on YouTube. By the way, that chat line is going bonkers. We'll check out that one. We'll check out the other message stream. And we got open lines. No wonder why Steve didn't want to come on today. Oh, my God. Goodness. Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by 5-Hour Energy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
All guests appear on the Bud Light guest line, but we're not having Steve Kerr on today. And now we absolutely know why. There was a holdup of the four-team trade that sounded an awful lot like it might be coming out of Detroit, with Mark Spears just the day before saying, hey, James Wiseman is going to start. Today it was revealed that James Wiseman would not be playing, and it sounded like since we all know that Gary Payton just played, the holdup might be coming from Detroit. Because all parties, which, by the way, every single party has agreed to this trade, at least publicly, has put out a statement. I mean, it got even further down the road than the Correa thing got with the San Francisco Giants in terms of everyone saying, yeah, this deal's happened. Pending physicals. Well, a physical of Gary Payton II has failed. Shams just reported a failed physical exam of Gary Payton has placed the four-team trade in serious jeopardy. Anthony Slater and Shams are reporting that Payton's core muscle injury could sideline him for up to 3 months following a Warriors exam. The Warriors have until tomorrow to either go through with the trade or have the entire four-team deal rescinded, all players return to their starting positions. Golden State reacquired Payton at the trade deadline on Thursday. Wow. It gets even more convoluted. Ray, what else have you found out during the commercial break?
Well, I didn't find it out. I just read it.
What else?
This is from Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated, who cited The Athletic in a paragraph that reads, Payton, according to sources, had been playing through pain in Portland. Sources added that the Blazers training staff had been pushing him to gut through it, giving him Toradol shots. This had not been relayed to the Warriors during the negotiation process.
Okay. I'm calling a lawyer. If I'm Joe Lacob right now, and I'm thinking about an actionable offense against the Allen family for not fully disclosing a player that they were willing to trade's medical history on day of trade. Is there anything, any bylaw that says you have to be transparent in terms of medicines issued to players who would be involved in trades? I don't know what the NBA would think about the transparency that clearly was being fogged up here by Portland to get a deal done.
I don't know. I'm sure that the league office would aggressively discourage the Warriors from taking the Blazers to court. But the Warriors also have the avenue of negating the trade. If they said, well, wait a minute, we just did a medical and he failed it because and you didn't disclose this, they could just say, you have to take him back now.
But the reason they came to the conclusion that they wanted to get back into the Gary Payton II business is because they thought him healthy.
True.
There's no way they would have actively gone about working a trade for someone who was saying, I'm being forced to play, and but for Toradol shots, I'd be unable to.
Well, look, it's not a good look for the Blazers, and I'm not a lawyer, so I can't speak to this with any certitude. But I think the league would say, you have an avenue. You can negate the trade. You can get your property back. And I hate to say property, that's a bad word. But you can get your player back. You can walk this entire trade back. You have a remedy for fixing this. The fact is, the Warriors can undo the trade, or they can take it as is and just say, well, we get cap relief for now, and we will try to get Payton ready within 3 months.
Before you uncovered the Athletic article, the tweet from Chris Mannix, however you stumbled across what you just shared about the Toradol pain and playing in pain, the one thing that you and I agreed to during the commercial break is this is basically too far over the skis to pull back now.
Yeah, I think so. I think even if the Warriors felt deceived, to undo the entire trade means that they have to reaccept James Wiseman, who they have said all along they're looking after his best interests. If they bring him back, then they're basically saying, all right, you still work for us, but we're not going to let you work because we don't think you're a good enough worker. And the alternative for him is going to Detroit, to a place where they're going to say, we're going to let you play, which is, you know, detrimental to Wiseman's career. So I think they can live with the possibility that they don't get Gary Payton until May, except the fact that they're on the hook for 2 more years of his salary in exchange for the $130 million of cap relief.
Now, look, one of the problems with all this, beyond just the player availability that may not be possible, is the like the single dumbest way to interpret this. A guy on the Otis Byrd III text line named Raphael just interpreted this the single dumbest way it could be interpreted. He said, Bob Myers is lost. Fire him. What are you talking about? Bob Myers is supposed to have Superman X-ray vision and be able to see a torn muscle in a player who was on the court playing against his team the night before the trade was consummated. Bob Myers is not responsible for any element of this blowing up. The crime, if you wanted to say this is a crime, which it isn't, but the deception is coming from the Portland Trailblazers. And this is a deception. They willingly, according to this story from Shams and Anthony Slater, Chris Mannix, however, got relayed. According to this story, and Ray, you can talk me through the entire paragraph if I'm getting this wrong. Please stop me if I'm getting this wrong.
Mm.
But this entire thing happened because the Portland Trailblazers never told the Warriors straight up he probably wouldn't be able to play if we weren't loading him up with Toradol in the 15 games that he has played for us. In the 15 games that he did play for Portland, he didn't do much. Gary Payton was 4 points, 2.5 rebounds, 1.5 assists. So it's not like he was out there doing much in the 15 games that he played. But should he have even been out there at all? If Portland is willing to drug their players to get them on the court, don't they need to disclose that to a team that's about to trade for one of those players?
I don't know if they are required to or not, to be honest with you. So the notion that they've deceived the Warriors, that may very well be true.
It sounds like you tried to just sell me a car that you knew had a bad radiator hose in it or whatever. I don't know anything about engines, but your phalange rod was all screwed up and you knew it. But you sold me the car thinking that I wouldn't catch the broken phalange rod. And that to me is like there's a lemon law for that. You know, you're not allowed to sell a car without disclosing the Carfax information.
No, but but there are remedies for that. And one of the other ones that I didn't even think of until I read the story that just got posted in The Athletic is that there have been behind the scenes discussions on Friday about the possibility of amendments to the trade. Maybe they throw in somebody else instead of Payton or someone in addition to Payton.
Dame Lillard, get it done. This should cost the Portland Trailblazers Dame Lillard. He'll make a great Warrior. You know he's from Oakland, right?
Yeah, I'm vaguely aware of
that. He is from the Bay Area.
Yeah, I don't think the Warriors get to say, well, we get to pick what we want from you. They would have to renegotiate that entire deal, which means dragging Atlanta and Detroit back into this. I think the Warriors may just choose the simplicity of saying, okay, we're just going to technically pass him, and then we'll put him on the IL and just until he gets healthy, and we will simply do without him. Because a case can be made, not a legal case, but an argument can be made. Well, the only thing that happened here is that you lost the services of a guy that you haven't been playing, and you got something in return for that.
And you can't play him either.
Which is 9 figures worth of cap relief. And you still get the player, you just don't get him as soon as you get him. But that's a choice the Warriors get to make, not one that the Blazers get to propose.
But here's the deal. The Warriors, of course, made this trade partially considering cap space. But they are also considering, how do we be a better team? We need another player. We need a player who understands and fits us in a way that the player that we just walked away from does not fit us. And we're trying to make the playoffs now. Like, Gary Payton might have been a move that was supposed to bolster this roster beyond this season. But you can't worry about those other seasons until the completion of this season. They didn't make a trade for Gary Payton specifically for tomorrow. Tomorrow was included in today. And if they can't get today out of Gary Payton, oh my God, thank you very much. Lucas is handing us things. And he put a star next to this. So it must be a portion that you'd want me to read, Lucas.
We already read that.
This is from Shams. Oh, this is what you... Yes.
Yeah.
Peyton,
it's
according
to... It's also from Shams and Slater.
Shams and Slater. Shams and Slater. Shams and Slater. All love. Yeah. Peyton, according to sources, has been playing through pain in Portland. Sources added that the Blazers training staff had been pushing him to gut through it. When's the last time the Warriors medical staff pushed a player to gut through anything?
They are notoriously conservative.
Playing through pain, giving him terrible shots to do it, had not been relayed to the Warriors during the negotiation process. That, to me, sounds like scumbaggery is in play. There is an element of deception that I think the Trailblazers are trying to get away with here.
And maybe, but the question is how aggressive do the Warriors want to be about this? Because I think the league will say, look, you have relief. If you don't want to do the deal, don't do the deal. And the damage that will accrue to the Blazers is they don't get to get Gary Payton off their payroll. And they now have a reputation around the league as people who are not to be trusted. I don't think the league wants to escalate this into something huge. And I think they will, in subtle ways, suggest to all parties, you know what? Let's figure out a way, either change this deal so that everybody's happy, which would probably mean the Blazers would have to send somebody else back to Golden State. And Golden State can either accept or you say, no deal. Or they just take Payton.
Here are the four most important words. And the only question that really matters, I think, going forward here. How pissed is Joe? Because if Joe Lacob feels that they tried to pull a fast one on him, Joe's the kind of guy who is going to be so personally, I think, pissed off and offended by that. Unless he's also saying, hey, you know, the main goal of this really wasn't the acquisition of Payton. The main goal of this was the tax relief. And I still have that main goal checked off. But I just don't think that that's the way Joe gets down. I think he is way too highly competitive and invested in on-court success to not be red in the face furious right now.
I'm sure he's
over at Chase Center.
I'm sure he's pissed purple. No question. But that's where Bob Myers' skill as a negotiator will come in handy in-house. We'll just say, okay, look, what do you want to do? Do you want to negate the trade? I'll negate the trade. Do you want to accept it and be happy with the cap relief and the notion that we'll get Gary Payton in May? Do that then. I mean, I think...
Or do you want to sue the Portland Trailblazers for Damian Lillard? That's what I would do.
And you'd have no chance in court.
We're filing frivolous lawsuits.
Oh, okay. Well, then go ahead. Yeah, we'll sue everybody. We will sue the corpse of Paul Allen.
I might sue the Phoenix Suns. Just throw them in there.
Sure, why not? No, I mean, it's based on what we know, this is a pretty creepy thing that the Blazers have done. The only way that they get to evade some responsibilities, if the Warriors called them and said, is all this stuff true about the tour at all? And they said, yeah. And if they cop to it at that point, then the Warriors, again, the choice reverts to the Warriors. Do you want to go through with this trade? Do you want to amend the trade? Or do you want to cancel the trade?
I think the Warriors should be given one more day to conduct all trading business. Like, the trade deadline is expired for 29 other teams. The Warriors get one more deal. Well, and they should call the Phoenix Suns and try to flip for Kevin Durant. Okay. A buddy of mine said, you know, they really don't need GP2. They need KD1.
An excellent point. But if you say the other 29 teams can't deal, then the Warriors are talking to themselves.
No, they get grandfathered in a partner.
Oh, okay.
Obviously,
see, I think I talked to Milwaukee about Giannis at that point.
Good Lord.
Now, I mean, this is hilarious and bizarre, but I have a feeling that it's going to end up normal in the end. meaning that the Warriors will grit their teeth.
I think they will
accept the deal and just, you know, I mean, hell, maybe the Blazers make it go away with money.
How about this? In order to rescind this deal, all it costs the Golden State Warriors is $130 million for a player they can't fit. Or they can just live with it.
Yeah.
When you put it like that, they're just going to live with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that the odds of them blowing this thing up are pretty minuscule because it's the worst possible option.
Greg in San Jose. Hello, Greg. You're on with Damon and Ratto.
Hey, guys. Man, it's just insane to just hear how everything has gone down from here. But, I mean, just a couple of things I was kind of thinking about. Like, first of all, I think Portland needs to pay for Payton's salary, no matter what, at the worst, just had to hold on to him. But actually, a couple of questions I have is that if they do happen to hold on to Payton, I guess would they have to go with probably the buyout market? Or would they even have another option for, like, a two-way player, potentially, to fill the void, assuming if that they had to put Payton on the injured list or anything? So I don't know what you guys think about that.
I mean, I think they are going to be kicking the can a little bit harder around the buyout market now. They need bodies. They need a player. They need someone else coming off the bench. I mean, it's the buyout market, or you got to take the tennis balls off of Andre Iguodala's walker and ask him to go out and play. Tennis balls on the walker, Ray.
Yeah, I heard you.
You can chuckle into the microphone.
Well, I didn't find it that hilarious. But the other thing is, why would they blow up their plans to use Iguodala as a playoff fixture now?
Oh, look at it this way. If you can't get 27 regular season games in before the playoffs, you ain't going to do squadoosh in the playoffs.
Well, maybe not. But this is what the plan has always been. And I don't think they're going to suddenly change that at this point. I think their choices are they're three, and it's, you know, it sucks for them, but they can either accept the trade and be happy with the cap relief while grinding their teeth about not having Payton immediately. They can negate the trade entirely and get back a very disgruntled and even more disgruntled than ever James Wiseman.
I don't think they can do that.
I don't think they can do it either. Or they have to reopen negotiations with the Blazers to figure out some other way to feel like they've been made whole. And looking at Portland's roster, the only real option is probably Shaedon Sharpe, who's not a great defensive player. And he's 19, and they already have more than 19.
They don't need another 19-year-old.
So, yeah, I mean, just, I don't know what they would do at that point.
Like, I was asked, could they rescind the trade partially? Maybe the NBA would grant them that grace if the Pistons were cool with it and the Hawks were cool with it. And the Trailblazers don't get a vote anymore. You guys are liars.
Liars always get a vote.
No, they should
George Santos proves that.
They should not get a vote going forward in what the Warriors' next course of action in this
is. No, they don't get a vote in that. The Warriors are the ones in charge right now. They're the ones who get to decide whether this trade is killed, modified, or accepted.
Again, maybe they could modify it to they end up with just Wiseman to Detroit for Sadiq Bey. Let's eliminate the Hawks, their five picks, Kevin Knox, and, well, I guess Kevin Knox would have to be thrown in to make the salaries work if we're just a straight up
player. Yes, yeah. So the other three teams would be involved if the Warriors wanted to, you know, revisit every part of this.
It's a freaking disaster.
Yeah, which is why the easiest course of action for the Warriors ultimately is to feel hard done by but accept the deal anyway.
Even the James Wiseman trade was a disaster. That's how much of the James Wiseman draft pick disaster we are still swimming in. Unbelievable. And the Warriors, again, the Warriors did nothing wrong here. The Warriors did nothing other than sit down at a negotiating table with a team that withheld relevant medical information. I did during crosstalk with Steiny and Guru think this was maybe coming from Detroit? This was maybe coming from James Wiseman. Again, James Wiseman was reported to, he's going to be starting his first game with the Detroit Pistons, to James Wiseman's not playing tonight. And I thought, geez, maybe this is a holdup on the Pistons' medical side.
Yeah, and that game's already started.
And I saw the video that Whitley sent out today. You got Steph Curry looking like he's got pressure off of him, even though he can't go tonight. Steph Curry's in a good mood sitting there. You got Steve Kerr on an exercise bike. You got a bouncy Gary Payton II just walking through the background. He looked like he was happy as a clam to be back with the Golden State Warriors, wearing Warrior workout gear, head to toe, hoodie up. I mean, he looked like he was ready to go. Nope. Unbelievable. Carlos Correa Part 2, Electric Boogaloo. That's what we're looking at. The same thing that happened to the Giants has happened to the Golden State Warriors. It's unbelievable.
It's hilarious.
What a 5 o'clock hour we got for you around the corner. You want in? We got open lines. We're coming back. We're taking calls, complaints, gripes, grievances. We're hearing it all today. Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game. It's a pleasure to have you along. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.